Shiras Ilay Nishmas Chaim Abba Ben Yosef Yehuda. I always find during the laying against the Torah in the morning, it's very sad. You read about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's hard not to shed a tear. I always get a little bit of a nechama as they're finishing up the last couple of psukim of the Chumash. As sad as it is that here Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving this world, but the pasuk is very encouraging because the pasuk says that Yeshua ben Nun Malei Ruach Chachma Kisamach Moshe Siyadav Alav, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, although yes, he did die, but he left behind the Talmud, he left behind the Yeshua, someone who's going to continue the transmission of HaMesorah. And of course, it's on these psukim that Chazal tell us Kisamach Moshe Siyadav Alav. This is the institution of smicha, the official formal institution of smicha that we know, the Gemara tells us, that existed ish b'pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha, he conferred smicha to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua in turn conferred it upon many other individuals, kahena v'kahena, for many, many generations. And this process of smicha, ish b'pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, existed throughout the period of the Nevi'im, throughout the period of the Tanoim, into the period of the Amoraim, and as we're going to see, why precisely it ended about midway through the period of the Amoraim, and unfortunately we do not have it today. We have a little bit of a watered down smicha. We speak about a person having smicha from yeshiva. That means something totally different. Maybe we'll have a little bit of a chance at the end of the shiur to discuss what the halachic significance of that statement is. But what I want to speak a little bit about tonight is this notion of smicha, the official smicha of ish b'pi ish, going back literally an unbroken chain of transmission, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the significance of it? How one goes about doing it? Why precisely it stopped? And when? Why it stopped at the time that it stopped? And is there any way to reinstitute it? The reason why the Shira is called reinstituting the Sanhedrin in our times is very simple. That in order to have a Sanhedrin, which is of course something which we would want to have very much, there are many halachic advantages of having a Sanhedrin. The main component of having a Sanhedrin is that the Dayanim, the judges who sit on the Sanhedrin, have to have received this authentic smicha. So in order to even dream of reinstituting the Sanhedrin today, we would have to somehow be able, if at all possible, to re-begin this transmission, which at first glance sounds like a contradiction in terms of it's supposed to be an unbroken chain of transmission. How in the world could we even think of starting it over again? So we're going to try to discuss about some of these topics tonight. So the Gemara, the first of the Ma'amakamas and Masechah Sanhedrin, that you give them at Beis, raises a very basic question. What do the words mean? Smicha? Does smicha mean literally to put your hands on? After all, that's what we find in the Chumash, that Kisamach Moshe Yadav Alav, the Pasuk tells us more explicitly in Parshas Pinchas, there was an actual physical act of smicha. So Amar Rav Acha, Brei the Rav Rav Ashi, B'yadu Mamish Samchalai, is that how we perform smicha today? When a Rebbe hands over the tradition to a Talmud, so he literally puts his hands on him. So Amalei, no, we don't do that anymore. Samchen le bishma. This is the Gemara speaking, even at a time when the authentic smicha still existed. No, there is no physical act of putting one's hands on the Talmud. Rather, it is declared through a name, bishma. What does that mean? Kari le Rebbe. We declare that the person is Rebbe. The term Rebbe, the original term Rebbe, was reserved only for somebody who actually had this smicha. V'yabalei v'shus l'meidan dine knossos. And particularly, not only do we mention the fact that the individual is called a Rebbe, that he's called a Musmach, he's called a Samach, but we explain what exactly that means, and what is the halachic significance of declaring that somebody is a Samach. So the first and foremost difference in halacha is that the individual who is a Samach is able to paskin areas of dine mamonos, areas of monetary law, which are off limits for non-smuchin. The area particularly that Chazal are referring to is dine knossos, that area of halacha of halachic penalties, of halachic fines, a whole subset of dine mamonos of monetary law, which is limited only to somebody who has smicha. Other areas of dine mamonos perhaps are available even to non-smuchin, provided the person is knowledgeable in that area of halacha. But dine knossos is absolutely off limits to somebody who doesn't have smicha. For that matter, not only is dine knossos off limits, but how much more so is dine nefashos in order to paskin a shayla of a capital offense, or to be involved in Kiddush HaChodesh, something which affects the entire Jewish people, the declaration of Rosh Chodesh, all of these very serious types of Dine Torah, Dine Knossos, Dine Nefashos, Dine Kiddush HaChodesh, etc., are limited only to individuals who have smicha. So that's what smicha means in the days when smicha existed. The twofold process, you gave the person the official title, you brought him a piece of paper, Korele Shema, Rabbi, Pliny, Rebbe, and then number two, you said, what does that mean? Tachlis, it means that you have a right to be Dan Dine Knossos. So it seems like a fairly simple procedure. First, the person has to learn in order to be able to get it. That goes without saying. But it sounds like the procedure aspect of conferring smicha is fairly simple. So comes the Gemara and says, there is one component that's absolutely critical, as we're going to see, really did us in terms of the continuity of smicha today. So in the second of the Gemara Mekamos, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz lo'aretz, that the principle of smicha does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? What do the words mean? My ein smicha. Does that mean that we have no right to paskin these areas of penalties, these areas of fines, this subset of dini mamonos outside of Eretz Yisrael? That's clearly not true. V'atunan, Sanhedrin noheg is bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz lo'aretz, that the Sanhedrin can function even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Here, primarily, we're not referring to the Sanhedrin Hagadol in the sense of the 71 dayanim that usually would sit in Yerushalayim, so what would they be doing in Chutz Loretz? Here we're referring to the lower level of Sanhedrin in the sense of 23 Dayanim. We know that there are basically three different levels of courts in the old times, but the Torah sets up the court system. There were the smaller, but they did, Dini Mamonos v'Shlosha, three judges that would judge most monetary areas of Halacha. Then there were 23 Dayanim who would sit on capital cases. And then there were 71, which was the one base that would sat in Yerushalayim, which affected issues, which affected the entire Jewish people. So comes the Gemara and says, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin that tells us, that the Mishnah actually appears in Masechet Makos, we have a Mishnah that tells us that you can judge Dini Nefashos in Chutz Loretz. You can have a quote-unquote Sanhedrin, a smaller Sanhedrin of 23 judges functioning even in America. So what does it mean that Ein Smicha b'Chutz Loretz? What it means is as follows, Ela, Delo Samchinon b'Chutz Loretz. That you cannot confer smicha, you cannot give smicha to somebody outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is something which is unique, something which is related only to Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps the source of this is based on the pasuk in the Navi Yeshayo, Ki mitzion teitzesoro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The Gemara never spells out that's actually the source, but some others assume that Ki mitzion teitzesoro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim means that the mainstay of the of Torah, the mainstay of learning Torah and of transmitting Torah, is of course in Eretz Yisrael, in Torah, Torah's Eretz Yisrael, Avir the Eretz Yisrael, Machtim, the whole notion that a person is more successful, a person gets to the truth of Torah, even the Chazon Ish used to say about himself, that the Divrei Torah that he wrote as a younger man in Vilna paled in comparison to the Divrei Torah that he wrote when he got a little bit older, when he got to Bnei Brak, and wasn't only because he was older and perhaps a little bit greater Talmid Chacham, but he writes that he felt that the Siyata Deshmaya, the Amita Shal Torah, that he experienced being in Eretz Yisrael was Einol Doma to that which he experienced in Chutz Loretz. So many of us who have been Zochet to learn Eretz Yisrael know that there's something that even we're not quite in the realm of the Chazon Ish, and we're not quite in the realm of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, but even we can relate to this idea. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that Smicha is limited only to Eretz Yisrael. So this, of course, became the root of all of our problems in terms of the Smicha process. That if Smicha is limited to Eretz Yisrael, then of course we had a very serious problem, because unfortunately, as time went on after the Churban, although right after the Churban there was still a rather large Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, the situation went from bad to worse as the Roman persecutions continued, and by approximately the 400s or so in the Common Era, the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael was for all practical purposes not functioning in anywhere near its glory that it had been functioning in the past. It was, of course, at this time when the seed of learning really transferred to Bavel. As great as the Talmidei Chachamim were in Bavel, and as much as Hakaras HaTov, as gratitude that we have for the Halakha Moroim who lived in Bavel, after all, ultimately they gave us the Talmud Bavli, there was something that they could not do for us, and they could not keep the Smicha chain of transmission alive. That as great as Abaye and Rava and Rav Nachman and Rav Ashi and Ravina were, they lived in Bavel, they did not study for the most part in Eretz Yisrael, and as such were not eligible to receive the smicha. This goes on for one generation, two generations, that's it. And the last smuchin are going to go to the Olam HaEmes, and the tragedy that we don't read about in Simchas Torah. In Simchas Torah we say, Kisamach Moshe Siyadav Alav, that the transmission continues, that the chain of tradition continues to the next generation. This, in effect, died out at approximately this time in Jewish history, which happens to also correspond to the same time that the Jewish calendar in effect came into creation. In the olden days, when you had Dayanim who was smuchin, so then Kiddush HaChodesh was declared based on the Psach of the Sanhedrin. Once Smicha fell by the wayside, the Sanhedrin fell by the wayside, and for all practical purposes, the Kiddush HaChodesh fell by the wayside, and that's the time when the set calendar came into existence, which is of course the way that we practice today. So all of this came to a halt at approximately the same time, the Gemara says, in the days of Abai and Rava. So you're talking about midway or so through the period of the Amoraim. The period of the Amoraim started in about the year 200 or so. That was approximately the time when the Mishnah was completed. The Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, was completed approximately the year 500. So somewhere in that area, that's when basically everything came to an end, that the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael was decimated. Not only was it due to the actual physical death for all practical purposes of the glorious Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, but the Roman authorities at the time didn't make things any easier by making specific decrees against Smicha. The Romans were smart, they knew exactly what was keeping the Jewish people alive, they understood the power of Sanhedrin, they understood the power of Kiddush HaChodesh, they understood the power of a central authority in the Jewish people, and they fought against it quite hard, and they made many gezeros against Smicha. In fact, some of them we even recall in the Asar Ruge Malchus that we say in Yom Kippur, we speak about the death of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin elaborates that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava ultimately died because he was Mosa Nefesh for Smicha, because there was a decree by the Romans that anyone who would confer Smicha to any student, the person who gave the Smicha would be put to death and the students would be killed as well. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was an older man at the time, said that he was one of those few who still had Smicha, that he said, listen, I'm an older man, I'm not going to live that long anyway, it's going to be worth it for me to give up my life, I'm going to give Smicha. And in fact, he conferred Smicha upon five Tanoim, and he was caught by the Roman authorities. The Talmidim were able to escape, they were younger. The Gemara says they were able to escape out to the forest. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was caught by the non-Jewish authorities and was put to death for giving of a Smicha. He was one of the Asar HaRugei Malchus. So we see that a combination of just the decimation of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, combined with the persecutions against the Smicha process per se, which really put an end for all practical purposes of Smicha, of Sanhedrin, of Kiddush HaChodesh, of Dina Knossos, everything, that whole parsha of Torah, all those dinim which revolve around Smicha, came to an end at approximately the same time in history. The question becomes, is there anything that can be done about it? Is there any way to reinstitute Smicha, or is this something that we really have to look forward to somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us individuals who had previous Smicha, sending us Eliyahu HaNavi, sending us other individuals who are musmachim in order for the Smicha to, in effect, continue? Or is there anything that we can do in this world today to start Smicha over again? So the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the next of the Mamakamos, has... I'm not here to rank the statements of the Rambam, but I would say this is probably one of the most fascinating statements that the Rambam makes. And as we're going to see, that the Rambam does something which is very uncharacteristic of him at the end of the halacha. The Rambam makes the following statement: Harei shelo haya be'eretz Yisrael ela somech echad. What if the smicha seems to be going by the wayside? There's only one left. So Moses shnayim b'tzido. So we could take two other individuals with him. You can make a lot of smuchin. The Gemara even tells us that David and Melech have smuchin of 30,000 people. There's no limit. So you can take, you can, as long as you have one smuch who's still left, so you can make 70 more smuchin. And then you can keep the ball rolling, you keep the flame alive. But now the Rambam comes to the following tremendous finish. What if you have a situation where there are no smuchin anymore? Here the Rambam is telling us something which the Gemara does not have. Rambam himself, whenever he introduces the phrase "v'nirinli hadvarim," that he's telling you a chiddush that's his own, that anything the Rambam is mechadish, others are going to disagree with. The Rambam is telling us there are no smuchim left in all of Eretz Yisrael. You know what you do? You take all the Talmid Chachamim together in Eretz Yisrael, and they decide that they want to appoint Dayanim, Velisma Chosom, Harelu Smuchim. So you could do. V'yeshlan Ladun Dine Knossos, V'yeshlan Lismoch La'acherim. They, once all the Dayanim, all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael get together and decide they're going to reinstitute the Smicha, they could do so. Im Kain, says the Rambam, Lama Hayu Achacham Mitztaren Ala Smicha, K'deshla Levatlu Dine Knossos Mi'Yisrael. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says that it was such a tragedy that Smicha came to an end. What was so tragic? Why were the Chum so concerned that Smicha will come to an end? It'll come to an end, so start it over again, says the Rambam. You really can start it over again, as long as you get all the Chachmei HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael together. Why did the Chachamim so concerned about that possibility? Lefi Sheisrael Mufuzarin, because the Jewish people are so spread out, that it's hard to get everybody together, it's hard to vote, it's hard to, everyone's going to agree to appoint one person to be the new samuch to stop the ball rolling. If the chain of transmission is still alive, if I have smicha from my Rebbe, from his Rebbe, from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't have to ask permission from all the other Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael to be able to confer smicha to my student. That's exactly what smicha means. It's ish mipi ish and Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you want to start smicha fresh, you want to start the whole process over again, so the Rabbi is telling you an unbelievable chiddush, that this only works if everybody gets together. All the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Notice that the Rambam left out the Talmid Chacham in Chutz La'aretz. The reason being, because as we said before, smicha is something which is Eretz Yisrael oriented. Whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz doesn't get a vote. So all the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael have to get together. And if they can all join together and decide on one, then you're home free. So the Rambam says, you want to know why the Chacham won't star on that? You want to know why the Chachamim realized that it's going to be so difficult to pull off the stunt? That's why they were so upset that Smicha was coming to an end. So the Rambam says, but in theory you can do it. If you all get together and you vote on one person, give him Smicha, he in turn gives Smicha to everybody else, that's okay. And then, that's okay. So now the Rambam ends off this halacha. It was a tremendous chiddush, and he introduced it by saying, the Nirin Liha Devarim, to tell you that it's not in the Gemara, this notion of starting Smicha over again. The Rambam says something which, again, I'm not a bucky in the Rambam, but I don't recall the Rambam saying in this all that many places, that you have to really think about this chiddush. It's not so posh, like we would say in yeshivas. It's not so posh that what I'm saying is right. Now, the Rambam wasn't known for hemming and hawing. The Rambam usually, he was pretty strong. He said it straight. If he had a chiddush that he thought was right, he said it. And here the Rambam takes a step backwards and says, yeah, it's gevaldi, it's not smicha over again. You know what? I'm not even so sure that what I'm saying, it's so radical, it's so bizarre. In a certain sense, it really flies in the face of what smicha is. Smicha is supposed to be ish mipiyish and Moshe Rabbeinu, and here the chain was broken, and the Rambam talks about potentially starting over again by David Tzorechacher. What prompted the Rambam to this idea? What made the Rambam believe that there's a way of starting smicha over again? So the Rambam in Mishneh Torah doesn't tell us, but the Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos does. I didn't put the Perusha Mishnayos on the Maamar Kamos, but the Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos, the very beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah, tells you what was in effect compelling him to come up with this tremendous chiddush that smicha can be started over again. And ultimately what was forcing the Rambam's hand was a pasuk in Navi. It's a pasuk that we say in the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, Vashiva Shoftayich Chavirishona V'yoatzayich Kevatchila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that I will return your judges. No, the Beis Din will come back, the Sanhedrin will come back. Afterwards, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Mashiach will come, the wonderful Geula will come. So the Rambam was bothered with these psukim. That the Shoftim are going to come back, the Sanhedrin is going to come back. And in fact, we express this in Ashvan Esrei. We recite the brach of Hashivish of Tenekev Rishona before we speak about Bona Yerushalayim, before we speak about Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, before we speak about Mashiach, before we speak about Malchus Beis David. The Rambam seems to be telling us that the first stage in the Geula process is Vashivish of Taechev Rishona, the Poskin Yishayel, that the Shoft and the Sanhedrin has to come back. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos, who's a real, you know, real Lom de Shashayel, the Rambam was bothered, was, how's it going to happen? Tachlis. How are the Dayanim going to come back? Where are they going to come from? The Rambam's sitting in the Middle Ages and he realizes that Smicha's been gone already for 800 years. He doesn't see anybody around who lived 800 years ago who has Smicha. On the other hand, the Navi's screaming, Shreichai V'Kayim, that the Dayanim's going to come back, the Sanhedrin's going to come back. Where are they going to come from? Says the Rambam, it must be that there's a way to be Mechadesh Smicha. What is the method to be Mechadesh Smicha? So that's what the Rambam says, nearly advar. How else should you do it? The only way that the Rambam could fathom that makes any sense of being Mechadish Smicha is to get all the Tamir Chacham in Eretz Yisrael again. The Tamir Chacham in Chutz La'aretz don't count because Smicha is an Eretz Yisrael oriented procedure. So you get all the Tamir Chacham together in Eretz Yisrael. They vote on one person. That one person becomes the Samuch, and that gets the ball rolling again. So the Rambam understood that it has to be some method. The Rambam suggested, this really seems to be the only method that really makes any sense. He's not 100% sure. But it's the Rambam's notion in Perashat Mishnayos that really was fueling the fire for this idea of starting the Sanhedrin over again. So if one would just read this Rambam, it sounds like a nice lumdish Rambam. It's a chiddush. You get pilpul. Is it true? Is it not true? Are there riyas? Are there no riyas? Back and forth. We chuckle a little bit and think, it's probably not going to happen anyway. The Rambam himself said it's not so posh that's going to happen, because you have to wait. You need everybody to agree. So many of you are familiar with the fact that this Rambam became the source of a very, very, in a certain sense, bitter controversy that took place in Klal Yisrael during the period of the life of the Shulchan Aruch in the 1500s, in a very, very small place, which in terms of one would think the city of Tzvas. So somehow, you know, you read about in the 1500s, you think there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Rabbanim. There weren't thousands and thousands of people in Eretz Yisrael. Forget about thousands and thousands of Talmidei Chachamim. Yet the little tiny, tiny city of Tzvas had such a roshem, had such an effect on our nihugim and our minhagim. Arayam Azet, it's mind-boggling. The Ari HaKadosh was from Tzvas. So many of the minhagim that many segments of Klal Yisrael followed, the minhagim of the Ari, come from Tzvas. The Shulchan Aruch himself, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef happened to have been written in Turkey. Yosef Kaya was a little boy in 1492. He was 4 years old when his family was expelled from Spain, and his family went to Turkey, and that's where he wrote most of his Svarim. The Beis Yosef was written in Chutzal, was written in Turkey, but the Sefer Shulchan Aruch was written in Tzvas. So anyone who's been in Tzvas, has been Zohar, walked through the Beis HaKavos in Tzvas, sees that, mamish, how much of our halacha l'maisa practices today stem from that tiny, tiny community in Tzvas. So in this community in Tzvas in the 1500s, few people read this Rambam and said, you know what? We can put this Rambam into practice. We can get the Talmidei Chachamim together in Eretz Yisrael, presumably, and we're going to decide who we're going to give smicha to, and now we're going to be able to start the ball rolling. We're going to reinstitute smicha. We're going to be don dini knasos. We could set up a Sanhedrin. We could have Kiddush Hashem. We could do a lot of things if we have smicha, things that haven't been done for 1,000 years. And the group of Talmidei Chachamim in Tzvas decided unanimously that who's going to be the Godol Hador, who's going to be the Nismach, the Samach, was a man by the name of Rav Yaakov Bey Rav. Rav Yaakov Bey Rav, in addition to being a tremendous Talmid Chacham, which is give you a little bit of an idea, he was the one who was decided to be the Godol Hador. He was the one that they all voted upon. He happened to have also had a very illustrious Talmud, whose name was Rav Yosef Kairo. He was the Shulchan Aruch's Rebbe, so just to give you an idea as to what a Talmid Chacham he was. So Rav Yaakov Bey Rav was voted upon to be the Samach. They, in fact, his Talmidim and the contemporaries conferred smicha upon him, and he in turn conferred smicha onto a group of individuals, one of them being Rav Yosef Kairo himself. Maran HaShulchan Aruch received this newfangled smicha based on this opinion of the Rambam. Other individuals who were present at the time as well, Ramesh Alshech, a group of others, who were part of this illustrious group of individuals who received smicha in the 1500s of Tzvas. And when I say smicha, I don't mean they were called rabbi, I mean the real thing. This was a real McCoy, but following the Shittas HaRambam. Needless to say that the roof caved in when this small procedure took place in Tzvas in the 1500s, and the lead attack against this group of individuals came from Yerushalayim, from a couple of miles down south. Again, it's so different the way, you know, we Yerushalayim, Tzvas, you hop on the bus a couple of hours, a couple of windy roads, and you're up there. In those days, they were literally worlds apart. So when word came from Tzvas to Yerushalayim as to what was happening, so the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim were rather upset. They were led by an individual, Rav Levi ibn Chaviv, known as the Maralbach, is the Rosh HaTevis of his name. Rav Levi ibn Chaviv, the Maralbach, was vehemently opposed and was joined by the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, vehemently opposed to what had taken place in Tzvas. They were opposed to what took place in Tzvas on several different grounds. First of all, they weren't even convinced that the Rambam himself, Paskin, like he says, after all, they pointed out correctly that the Rambam himself leaves it hanging. The Rambam himself put in the three magic words, "Vadavat Tzarech Hechera." So if you're building it, you're holding onto the Rambam's coattails, and the Rambam himself wasn't even so convinced that it was right. So they couldn't understand how could the Chidus Kavod, the Shulchan Aruch, how could they go ahead and make such a maisa, such a revolutionary move, basing themselves on the Rambam, when the Rambam himself was heavy and annoying, so to speak, at the end, when he was really correct in what he was saying. Number two, Maralbach was opposed in terms of the mitzius, in terms of even a niach, even if the Rambam was correct that this procedure is valid, the Rambam was very clear. Shemeskimu kol hachachamim shebe eretz Yisrael. Now, Rav Bach, you know, didn't Chalila stating himself as a Bagaiva Chalila v'Chalila, but he was quite a Talmid Chacham. He was the Gadol Hador, he was the Av Beis Din of Yerushalayim, and he had some very illustrious contemporaries with him as well. So the Rav Bach says, wait a second, we weren't even invited. We didn't even cast a vote. They didn't even send us an email to let us know what's going on. Said, we have no idea. The Rambam himself said, you need the Haskam of Kol HaChachamim Shebe Eretz Yisrael. So Yerushalayim is also, as we checked, is also part of Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean that? Well, how come we were left out? Not a political statement in the sense of, you know, how come we're not important enough? No, Api Halacha, we're not allowed to be left out. Because if we're left out, so that throws into question the entire procedure, because it has to be Haskam of Kol HaChachamim Yisrael. Then the Marabach had a third issue that he took with the Rabbanim and Tzvas, that even if we would have been informed, and even if we would have given our consent, says, and even if the Rambam is right that it works, says the Marabach, he's still not sure that it was correct. Why? Because he had a deed from the Rambam. Right before, the Rambam says that the reason why the Chachamim was so concerned with Smicha disappearing was because it's going to be very difficult to reinstitute it. What's going to be so difficult to reinstitute it? So the Rambam says, Lefishi Yisrael Mufuzarim, because Klal Yisrael was so spread out throughout the world, it's going to be hard to get things rolling again. The Mufuzar, they're all spread out. Says the Baruch Bach, what's the big deal? Send letters, you wait for the Pony Express, you get everybody to vote, to put in their ballot, and they'll send the letters, and everyone will put in their vote for the right candidate. What's the big deal? The Yisrael Mufuzar name, so they won't be able to agree. Says the Marabach, HaKorachak, what the Rambam means is as follows, that the only way Smicha can be reinstituted, it's not enough just that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael agree upon somebody, but they have to be B'moshav Echad, they have to be in one meeting place, they have to sit and have a Kriyos Beis Din, they have to have all, if the Bamash, a big convention of all the Tamilchamei Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough to do it on conference call. Everybody has to come together, make a Moshav Beis Din. That's the only way whatsoever even the Rambam would dream of reinstituting Smicha. Now, the Rambam doesn't exactly say that. The Rambam doesn't say one way or the other. One could argue that all the Rambam meant is that they're spread out and it's hard to get everybody's opinion. It's going to be technically hard and it's hard to get everyone to agree. The Rambam never meant to say you need a Maimon Kol Yisrael, but the Marabach understood that that's in fact what the Rambam was referring to. So the Marabach was vehemently opposed to this Chiddush of the Beis Yosef and the Maribei Rav and Rosh Alshech and these Gedolei Olam and Tzfas, based on a whole series of objections based on the Rambam himself. Everything is based on the Rambam. Everyone's based themselves on the same text. So whereas the Beis Yosef and the Maribei Rav and Rosh Alshech all said, yeah, we're just following the Rambam, the Marabach turned around and said, it's not true, because first of all, the Rambam himself wasn't sure. Number two, you didn't meet the Rambam's criteria because you didn't ask us. And number three, even if you would have asked us, it's still, even if we would have said yes, which we won't, but even if we would have said yes, it's still no good because it's not the Maimon Kol Yisrael. This was a raging debate for that entire generation. The Radvaz, who was really contemporary of these individuals, the Radvaz originally was the Rav in Egypt. And in fact, the Radvaz, in the end of Sefer Melachim, when the Rambam speaks about the prohibition of living in Egypt, so the Radvaz has a very fascinating comment. The Radvaz says, just in case you're wondering what I'm doing here, because after all, the Rambam says that it's also to live in Mitzrayim, which is a question, of course, in the Rambam also, what the Rambam was doing there, but that's another question for another time. So comes the Radvaz and says, in case anyone was wondering what I'm doing here, so the Rishami says, you're allowed to go there temporarily, as long as you plan on going out. The Radvaz says, that's exactly what I did. I came to Mitzrayim, I was born in Mitzrayim, I was here for a while, but I always had in mind, I'm leaving, and says the Radvaz, Taka Kachava, I Taka did leave, and I moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I set up a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So the Radvaz, who lived at the same time in the 1500s, he wrote an extensive tshuva about this. He refers to part of his tshuva in his commentary on the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And the Radvaz was asked by the Gedolim in Yerushalayim to take a stand on the issue as one of the, somewhat to some degree, as an outsider, someone who was somewhat impartial to this machlokas. And the Radvaz writes that he thinks that the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim are right. But for the most part, he thinks that the tainas that the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim had were powerful against the Beis Yosef. Even if one of the arguments is right, the whole thing falls by the wayside. That if there's any quirk, if there's any problem with the Rambam's application, so the entire procedure is going to be null and void. So the Radvaz thinks that the Marabach, the Chachmei Yerushalayim, were in fact correct. It's fascinating. It's not on the Ramakomos. It's on the side of the side of this Rambam. You take yourselves that if one reads through the Radvaz, I think we learn something which is a critical lesson, not so much in terms of halacha, but in terms of machshav, in terms of ashkof, in terms of midas, in terms of derech eretz, how one has a machlokas. The Radvaz quotes the machlokas. He quotes all the issues, and it was clearly a burning issue in his day. He was schlepped into this machlokas. The Radvaz refers to the Chachmei Tzvas, doesn't tell you who they are. He refers to the Chacham Shebi Yerushalayim, doesn't tell you who it was. We all know from the history books exactly who it was. The Maharal Bach, it was Mari Beirav. We know exactly who the Balei Dover were. The Radvaz does not mention anybody by name. Not that he knew the names were. He knew ganz good who the names were. He left out all the names. If you look at the Lecha Mishnah, who lived already a little bit later, Chavishna fills you in well, the juicy part. It says, yeah, it was the Maharal Bach, and it was the Mari Beirav, and it was this one and that one. He gives you all the names. And my high, what's the difference? I think the answer is very partial. That when the Radvaz was writing this tshuva, when he was writing his comments on the Rambam, the Balei Dover was still alive. It was still going on. There was still a machlokes raging. The Radvaz wanted so hard to avoid the terrible pitfall that unfortunately sometimes we see even in our own day, this terrible tragedy, when a genuine, valid machlokes in halacha, and there are big machlokes in. They've been machlokes since the days of Moshe V'Aaron, the machlokes, Bishan, Beisilel. They were fighting about the most basic things in halacha. You can have a machlokes with somebody. You have to be careful that you don't let it become a personal machlokes. So the Radvaz, they don't want to involve the names. The names are irrelevant. It doesn't matter who the Balei Dover are. It's a halachic issue. Pliny says something else, and we have to be machriya. We have to paskin it. You have to work on it and figure out what the correct halacha is. But there's no reason to put anybody down. There's no reason to insult anybody. There's no reason to involve any personal issues in the machlokes. So I think the Radvaz was teaching us a powerful lesson in terms of by dafka leaving the names out of such a burning machlokes where everybody knew who they were. He refused to mention anybody by name to teach us. You have a machlokes about issues. You don't have a machlokes about people. The Lecha Mishnah lived 100 years later, and the Lecha Mishnah, everyone was in the Olam Emes already. It didn't matter. The Machlokes was over. The whole thing fubbed away, so it never lasted anyway. The whole thing was over. It was a pure academic Machlokes. Academic Machlokes, you can say. It was the Bari Beirav, it was the Barabat. No one was alive anyway. Everyone had made Shalom read in the Olam Emes. So the Lecha Mishnah felt free to mention names. But you see, I think a very powerful lesson from the Gedolei Olam. When you have a Machlokes is on issues. Machlokes is not about people. It's a critical lesson that just Derech Agav, I think, stems from this entire sugya. So I call upon him, where does this place us in terms of Chiddush HaSmicha? So the Yemen says it doesn't place us in all that much better than we were 500 years ago in Tzvas, that the one plan, the one time the Chiddush HaSmicha started, so in effect it failed. It never went past the generation of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef had received Smicha, but he in turn, it didn't go to the next generation. And I guess in Shemayim, in a certain sense, it was paskined up, at least Olam Hazeh, it was paskined up like the Maharal Bach, that it never was started over again. And in fact, all the objections and all the hesitations that the Rambam has, in effect, really are apparent even Bizman Hazeh, that as great an idea as this would be, but the Rambam Lamaisa tells us that it's going to be very, very difficult to pull off. So in terms of authentic smicha, the real Makoya smicha, we're not going to be able to pull off today. We're going to have to wait. Either Rambam's Kashi, Vashiva Shavtach, Vashona, so Eliyahu Hanavi answers a lot of other Kashas. Linton Akashi also, hey, I have Smicha. But what I want to speak about just in the remaining few moments is, although authentic Smicha really doesn't exist for practical purposes with Zman Hazeh, thereby throwing into question the Chiddush HaSanhedrin, which we really can't do anymore, but we do have something that exists in Klal Yisrael, it's a universal concept in Klal Yisrael, that we call today a Rav has Smicha. Smicha? Yeah, where does that come from? What's that all about? Rav has a smicha. What do the words mean? So the Rishonim, the Rivash, primarily has a long tshuva about the quote-unquote modern-day smicha. Again, should not at all be confused with the smicha of that we've been talking about up until now, which is in effect off-limits for today. Says the Rivash, our modern-day smicha is based on an entirely different premise. There's a Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin where the Gemara tells us the following, that very famous phrase that came out of that Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Rav was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He had learned by Rav Yehuda HaNasi, and he was leaving Eretz Yisrael to go off to Bavel, to become the Rosh Shiva in Bavel, which in effect everything that we have in Bavel was really started in the days of Rav. So Rav was on his way to Bavel, and he wanted to get to get a goodbye from his Rosh Hashiva, from his Rebbe, from Yehuda Nasi, but he was a little bit intimidated. He didn't want to ask Yehuda Nasi directly, so he asked Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was his uncle, so he asked Rabbi Chiya to intercede and to ask him, please ask Yehuda Nasi to give me in effect the right to become a Rosh Hashiva, to become a Rav, to pass Kachaz, etc. So Rabbi Chiya approached Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and said, Rav is going to Bavel. He asked him a question, Yireh, does he have the ability to pasken shilas? Do you give him permission to answer shilas of Horah, of Yerodeah? I mean, Yerodeah is a term much later, but Yerodeah, of the Shabbos, of his Kashrus, of his Mishpacha, that area of Halacha, Yireh, can he do that? To which Rabbi Yehuda Nasi responded, Yireh, yeah, he can. Then he asked him, Yodin, does he have the ability, does he have the right, does he have your blessing to pasken dinimominis, to sit on a day's din? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi responded, Yodin, yeah, it's good. That's where the phrase Yori, Yori, Yodin, Yodin comes from. When people smicha, it says Yori, Yori, it says Yodin, Yodin. That's a joke. The phrase is a misnomer. It should be a question mark. Yora? The answer is Yora. Yodin? The answer is Yod. We hope it doesn't say Yori, Yori, question mark. We're not sure what the answer is. But assuming the answer is yes, that's where the phrase Yora, Yora, Yodin, Yodin comes from that Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question, why in the world did Rabbi Chiya have to get the blessing, the permission from Yehuda Nasi for Rav to go and pasken shailas? I understand why he asked in Yadin. He wanted to give him smicha. He wanted to give him the real authentic smicha that we've been talking about. So to sit on the Beis Din for Dina Mominis, for Dina Knossos, for certain areas of monetary law, you require smicha, that I understand. But the pasken of Cheshavas, the pasken of Cheshkashuas, the pasken of Taras HaMishbacha, what do you need smicha for? Smicha, we said at the beginning of the year, that's for Kiddush HaChodesh, for Dina Nefashos, for Dina Knossos, that's for the big stuff, in the sense of to sit in a Beis Din, to pasken of Shaila as a rabbi, as a rav answering a shiloh, whether the chicken is kosher or not, whether a little bit of milk fall into the pot of chulin, whether the meat is kosher, what do you need semicha for? So the Gemara says, you're right, you really don't. So why is Rabbi Chiya asking Rabbi Yehuda Nasi for semicha? So comes the Gemara and tells us, on the bottom of Masechet Sanhedrin, the last of the Gemara Mekomas, Tana, Ba'osa Shagazru, Talmud al Yore, Elam Kenotel Rishus Merabo, that the Chachamim instituted Midirabonim, that the Konas Chachamim, nothing to do with smicha vol, nothing to do with everything that we've been talking about up to now. The Chachamim instituted the following takana, that a Talmud, a student, should not pasken shailas unless his Rebbe gave him permission to do so. Nothing to do with smicha, there's nothing to do with dinin nefashos, with dinin mamonos, dinin knossos, kiddush hakodesh. This has to do with Shabbos, kashrus, and taras hamishpacha. Why not? Why do you need rishus mirabo? So the Gemara tells us that there was a very, somewhat of a humorous story, that there was a particular shaila that had come up, that people were being mezalzel in a given area of halacha. And the reason why was because they didn't understand the new rabbi who had come to town. Because the rabbi had said the word bitzoyim, which means, I was sitting in traffic for 3 hours over the bridge tonight, so everyone's a little bit tired. So the rabbi had said the word beitzim. Beitzim means eggs. And the Balabatim thought he said the word Betsoim. Betsoim means a water in a marsh. So it led to a whole choke on Ukustum Vitara. Because the rabbi didn't talk so clearly and the Balabatim didn't hear so well. So it was a little bit of a balagan. So they made a mistake. It led to a mistake in halacha. So the Gemara says when they realized that the young Talmid Chachamim, maybe they knew how to learn, but they didn't really know how to express themselves properly. So they were walking around passing shailas. The Olam didn't understand what they were talking about. And they were leading to Kilkulim, was leading to problems in Psach Halacha. So the Chachamim made a takana that a Talmud is not permitted to pasken a shayla until he is not only well-versed in the Halacha, not only does he know how to speak properly, does he know how to express the thoughts properly, but his Rebbe has to test him, his Rebbe has to confer upon him the Heter Horo. He has to say, not the Rishus Merabo. So that's what Rabbi Chiya was trying to accomplish for Rav. Rabbi Chiya went to Rabbi Nasi and said, I want permission from my nephew. Forget about Dini Defashis and Dini Mominis and Knossos and Kiddush Chodesh. I want him to pass in Shabbos. I want him to pass in Uchus Taras and Mishpacha Shailas. Good. You have to have permission from your Rebbe. Talmud al Yore Elim Kein Ki, not the Rishus Merabah. But that's not the smich of old. That's called Natilus Rishus Merabah. The Rivash writes in a tshuva, that's what our smicha means b'zman hazeh. That's what the standard is that a young Talmud comes to Yeshiva. He learns by a particular Rebbe for a few years. So hopefully the Rebbe gives him bechinas, either written bechinas or bechinas. He tests him that he sees that he understands the material. Then presumably the Rebbe develops some kind of a kesher with the Talmud that he realizes that the Talmud knows how to speak properly, he knows how to express himself properly. So at that point, when the Talmud leaves the yeshiva, so the Rebbe would say, I'm hereby giving you permission to paskin shailas. That's the Tumas Rishus Meravos. Says the Rivash, today that has colloquially been called smicha. We call it smicha because it's a throwback, because it sounds a little bit like a smicha of old, but it's not the real thing. It's not the real, authentic smicha of old. It's the, what we should really call it is the Netilas Rishus Meravos program. It doesn't sound right then. Why you smicha? I'm in the fourth year of Netilas Meravos Rishus. It's too long. It's the smicha program. But that's basically what it is. It's not real smicha. Real smicha is smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's been gone already for 1,500 years with the minus the 20 years or so in Tzvas. What we're really doing, Bizman Azeh, is the Netilas Rishus Meravos. This idea that that our smicha is not quite the same as the smicha of old, so this perhaps explains away a following important distinction in Halacha, which is the second to last of the Maamar Kamos in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that when you appoint smicha, the Rambam here is referring to the old bona fide smicha, the Rambam writes, you can appoint individuals for smicha, a limited smicha. What does that mean? If the person who you're giving smicha to is the big Talmud Chacham, he knows that a pasuk in every area of halacha, you can give him smicha to limited areas. Ketzav, Chacham mufla sheroy lahoras lechol haTorah kula. If he knows that a pasuk in everything, so yesh the beis din lismachoso v'lita lo rishus ladun flo lahoras b'sevehetah. The beis din can give him permission that we want you to be judging civil cases. We want you to be sitting on monetary cases. We don't want you involved in isavahata. We don't want you involved in checking the mikvah. Oh, you didn't know Rishus be isavahata. Or we say, listen, you're good in Hilchos Shabbos and isavahata. Falola dun din in mamnas. But you're not so good in court. You know, you don't like getting yelled at. So maybe you're not the best thing to be a judge. Oh, you didn't know Rishus lazeh lazeh. Avalola dun din in knasas. Or they can give partial smicha and say, listen, we're letting you do certain things, but not knasas. Oh, la dun din in knasas. Valola hata becharas b'mumin. Or you can't pass him b'chorei shaylas. Oh, you know, rishus lahat in a darim b'vad. They can give him rishus to sit on a bezin for a doros adarim. But oh, l'ros k'samim. What to look at the shaylas in terms of v'chus nida. V'chein kol k'yotze ben. So whoever's giving smicha, again, the authentic smicha, can pick and choose that if they see that this Talmud is cut out to do this area of halacha, but he's not going to be so great in other areas, provided that he knows that a paskin. In theory, he could be called upon. He can play any position, but he's a good shortstop. But in theory, you have to put him in the outfield. You put him in the outfield. So that's what the Rabbi's saying here also. A little bit of Yom Kippur, everyone was mustering effort to come out tonight. Real, So comes the Rabbi and says that you can give individualized smicha, you can give partial smicha, provided there is royal haris b'chalat harakula. The Rabbi is speaking about the official bona fide smicha of old. The poskim in Yerodeah, in the simon about paskining shailas, there's a simon shechnach about paskining shailas in Yerodeah chel gimel. So the Ramah and the Shach write that this idea carries over bezman as also. This netilas rishus merabo, again, it's not the real smicha, but netilas rishus merabo. We could also give lechatzoim. Let's say I have a Talmud, that I want this Talmud to paskin this particular area of halacha. I don't think that he's cut out to paskin other areas. I'm not giving him smicha, quote unquote, I'm giving him netilas rishus. So the Ram says I could do that. The Ramon the Shach said I could do that also. I could do an Atilas Rishus Lachatzoyin. But here the Ramon the Shach write the Talmud need not be royal lahoros b'chol haTorah kula. Since today we're not conferring upon him smicha, we're not changing the person, we're not giving him an official halachic title that he's hereby a samuch. All we're doing is tachlas is saying that he took some bechinas, he knows how to speak properly, he knows how to pass from shailas. So say the Ramon the Shach, you can give partial smicha b'zman hazeh. Even if the person is not royal haris b'chol haTorah kula, they used to say that there were some rabbanim during the Korean War, the Vietnam War, they used to give smicha and hukas nafil shadayim, smicha and hukas yal v'yovo. If you needed a quick smicha, so then the person didn't have time to learn bas b'chol of tarayves, neither Shabbos, erevin. So they needed a quick smicha. Okay, so the guy was a world class expert. Every yal v'yovo shayla that would come, he could paskin. So okay, so you're allowed to do that. That's what the Ramon the Shach write. You're allowed to pull off such a stuff. In the old days, you couldn't do that. But the old days, the smicha was the real ultimate, the real McCoy. But these are watered down smicha, which is really a misnomer. It's really called Netilas Rishus. So Netilas Rishus for sure works the chatzayin, and the person doesn't even have to be royal ha'iras b'chal haTorah kula. So I think as we began the shir, pointing out at least my own personal feeling when we read the Sefer Torah and the last few psukim of the Torah, so you see that the Torah makes such a critical statement that Yeshua ben Nun Mali Ruach Chachma Kisamach Moshe Asyado Alav, that it's so critical that when after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us that there's not going to be a vacuum in terms of the Mesorah, Masorah is going to go, ish mipi yish, and even if, for whatever technical reasons, we don't have the smicha bizman hazeh that lost, Eretz Yisrael, whatever technical reasons, and whatever the machlekes wasn't sfas, whether it wasn't tachlas, bottom line today, in our days, we don't have anyone who has the official smicha, but afal pi chein, even though we may not have the official smicha, we have the ish mipi yish, ad Moshe Rabbeinu. We have it mamish, literally, ad Moshe Rabbeinu mamish, that everything that we learn, all the Torah that we learn, so it goes back from our Rabbeinu's Rabbeinu's Rabbeinu. It wasn't so far back, a few generations, goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So she gives us a tremendous chizuk, tremendous eslavos to know, like the Rav used to say, when he would sit down and give a shia, so the Rambam would be at one side and the Rabbi would be at the other side, and Rabbeinu Tam would be in the back, and Rabbi Akiva would be in the back, and that's exactly what we do. So that's tremendous, tremendous Simchas HaTorah. We're about to celebrate the Yom Tov of Simchas HaTorah. So to realize that our Masorah is Baruch Hashem alive and well, and even though the little prop, the technical part, it's a big technical part that we hopefully will be corrected soon, but in terms of the Masorah itself, the Masorah Baruch Hashem is alive and well, and hopefully we should be zeicha to the days of Ashiva Shavtach Kavar Yishana, Yotach Kavar Chila, should be zeicha v'echvar chein chein, yikar alach ira tzadik. It was a similar type of idea, but and Harayah didn't fly in the 1900s either. Thank you.